We are holding on Nunheya Morales, 5 lines from the bottom by the two.
We learned on Daphne and Dalid, the Gemara had talked about the idea, well, to go back, the Mishnah had mentioned the idea that Ha'ra is just like Gemar Bia as far as Yibum and as far as the various Arayas Shabbat Torah. And we discussed how exactly we know this in the case of the various Arayas, in the case of the various Krisis. We ended up saying that there's a Hekish, since the Torah mentions Ha'ra by Nida, it's Makora Hera, and the Torah is Makish, all of the Arayas that are Chayiv Koros or Mrs. Basin together, so Ha'ra applies to all of them. Now the question is, what about other kinds of Isurim? Or for that matter, the mitzvahs. We didn't talk about yet where we know that Ha'ra is affected by a Yavama. We said Kedauka, Shaloi Kedauka, we said Onus or Rotsin, etc. We didn't get into how we know Ha'ra works there. So that's what the Gemara is going to be taking up now. Ha'ra de Chayvi Lavin Menolon. Where do we know this idea that Ha'ra is effective by Chayvi Lavin? For example, the example that the Mishnah gave, for example, a Kohen Gadol marrying a Grusha or a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana or whatever. How do we know that Ha'ra is enough to make him Chayv? And to pass all her, etc. The answer is Midgali Rachmana Shikvas Zera Gabi Shivcha Harufa. Because there's one particular case where the Torah spells out that the relationship has to be Shikvas Zera. And Shikvas Zera, as we started talking about yesterday, in Torah terminology, doesn't mean what we think of as the actual the fluid itself. It means a lying of Zera, or the kind of relation that is capable of making her pregnant. Incidentally, by the way, to discuss what you were mentioning yesterday, that theoretically with Ha'ra, as long as Zera is emitted, she could become pregnant from that as well. It's true. And Mefoshim talk about, though, that in that case, because that's such an unlikely thing, that would sort of be the equivalent of what we learned in, that might be the equivalent of what we learned in Chagiga about Misabra Bambati, the case over there where there's Zera floating around in a pool, or a tub or whatever, and a woman becomes pregnant from that. You wouldn't necessarily say that if there was only Ha'ra done and then she became pregnant from that, you still wouldn't necessarily call that Shikvas Zera. Anyway, whether in our case over here, which the Gemara is going to talk about over here by Shivcha Harufa, when the Pasuk says that it has to be Shikvas Zera, does it imply that there was actual ejaculation or is it just enough to have Gemar Bia? That's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. But anyway, the point is, there the Torah spells out that it has to be Shikvas Zera, something more than Ha'ra, by Shivcha Harufa. A Shivcha Harufa is, there's a few different opinions in the Mishnah and Krisus what it is. It's obviously some kind of Shivcha. One opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, which is what Rashi brings over here, is it means a Shivcha that is Mekudesh to an Eved Ivri, which the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, an Eved Ivri is allowed to be married off to a Shivcha, so children will be more slaves for the master. That's one possibility. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva there in the Mishnah holds differently. He says it means a woman who's Chetya Shivcha v'Chetya Baschorin, a half-free, half-slave woman who's Mekudesh to a Jew. Where, because she's half free, therefore the half of her that's free is able to be married to him, but the half of the shivcha is not. Anyway, that's what shivcha harufa is. Now, and there it says shivcha zera. If somebody else has relations with her shivcha zera, the kind of shiva that can lead to zera, then he has to bring a korban and she gets malchus.
And where do we establish shivcha harufa?
Shivcha harufa is a lav. It's only a lav. Having relations with a shivcha, even if it was a full shivcha, is only a lav. Lo siyach desha, or lo siyach kodesh, actually, whatever. It's a lav. There's no chayv krusis. There's no chayv mrs. Basin involved. So therefore, we call the chayv elavin b'harah. So therefore, we see from that evidently that chayv elavin, all other chayv elavin evidently is harah.
So we just take it from a lav.
Right. So we say, in other words, we say the fact that the Torah spelt it out over there by the case of shivcha harufa implies that's the only exception. And Mefarshim discussed, Tosfos, for example, discusses why don't we say the other way around, maybe it means Fakert. If the Torah tells us by Shivcha Harufa, maybe that's meant to be a paradigm, maybe that's meant to be a binyanav for all Chayv Elavin.
Meaning what?
Meaning maybe you should say that all other Chayv Elavin is also only Gmar Bia. Because there the Torah says Shivcha Zera, and maybe we should learn from that. The answer is, Tosfos says, because we do like this. We have Chayvei Krisis and we have Chayvei Lavin. Since it says Ha'ra by Chayvei Krisis, we would automatically, from that alone, we would assume then that Chayvei Lavin are less serious than unique Ma'biyah. But since the Torah then goes and spells out Ma'biyah by Shifra Harufa, that implies that all of the Chayvei Lavin is not. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't have said it by Shivcha Charufa either, and we would have assumed, yes, all Chayvei Lavan are less serious than Chayvei Krisis. You need Marbiya in order to be Chayev.
Specifically,
by Shivcha Charufa means that it's the exception. It's the exception to all the other Lavan. All the other Lavan are the same as Chayvei Krisis, right. The Gemara asked Adarav, "Mid Gali Rachmana Harav b'Chayvei Krisis Mechalal b'Chayvei Lavan b'Marbiya." That's exactly the question. Why? Since the Torah specifically says Harav by Chayvei Krisis, maybe assume that by Chayvei Lavan they're less stringent. Maybe you do need Marbiya in order to be Chayev. Including Shivcha Charufa. Not that we learn from Shivcha Charufa as a binyan av for everything else, but we would assume Chayvei Lavan are less stringent than Chayvei Krisis. Once we establish that Harav is by Chayvei Krisis, we would assume for Chayvei Lavan to be Chayev, you need something more. The answer is Omer Abashim came l'shtekrom shivcha charufa. If that's the case, then the Torah did not have to say the words shichvat zera by a shivcha charufa at all. We would understand logically that then harod so therefore, once the Torah mentions it by shivcha charufa, then first of all it teaches us. So the Gemara itself is telling us. Therefore, that teaches us that all other chayvei lavan are the same as chayvei krisis. Harod is enough to be chayev. Only shivcha charufa is the exception. And number two, that Tosfos explains, we don't use shivcha charufa as a paradigm for everything else, because again, then the Torah didn't need to say it either. It could have then we would have assumed on our own that it's less. Next, harod chayvei lavan de kahuna manalon. Actually, the chayvei lavan we were talking about over here is this example of shivcha charufa, or other cases, for example, a mamzer, a nasin, etc., which everybody is chayvei lavan. Okay, next one. How do the chayvei lavan to kahuna manol? And how do we know the cases where kohen is marrying a woman who is also tamed under a chayvei lav? There, you can't say you learn it from shivcha charufa. Shivcha charufa applies to everybody. These things apply only to kohenim. The answer is after kicha kicha. We make a gzeira shava between the two words kicha. By the chayvei krisis, you have the case over there of a sister where it says isha sheyikach es achoisei, and by the kohen isha grusha v'chalala lo yikachu. So we make a gzeira shava. So we say the same thing as by achoisei, hara is included because there it's included in the hekesh with nida. It's included in the hekesh with hara from nida. So therefore, by the isurim of a kohen.
But we say also ki ikach shisha, not only the lashon ikach applies to everybody.
Sure, but this is why we say ain't not done gzeira shava ma'afne. A person can't just come up with a gzeira shava on his own, because then you could come up with all kinds of ridiculous things. The vort is, we've talked about this before, that the various panoyim and amoroyim had kabbalas from their teachers of how many gzeira shavas there's supposed to be, and of which and of the words that are supposed to be used. They knew, for example, the gzeira shava kicha kicha. They could figure out on their own what that gzeira shava is meant to teach us. Yeah.
Has to be in a certain accepted tradition of the Zereshava.
Right. Next, the Chayvei Esther Manolan. How about by Chayvei Esther? What about, for example, the example of the mystery of an Adomi Ger, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. The Torah says up to the third generation, they're not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But again, we talked about this the other day. The Torah doesn't phrase it as a lav, that up to the third generation, lo yavoyu b'kal Hashem. It says as an Esther, from the third generation onward, yavoy lahem b'kal Hashem, which implies before that not. So if they intermarry into the Jewish people before that, that's only an Isser Esser. It's a lav abom we call Esser. It's an Esser from which we can deduce a lav, and that only has the force of an Esser. There wouldn't be Chayv Malkus for it, for example. So how do we know there also that Hara is enough to be over? The answer is Asya Bia Bia. We make another Zera Shava. By the Chayv Lavin, you have, it says, Lo Yovei Mamzer. By the Mitzri and Adomi, it says, Bonem Asher Yivold Lahem Yovei Lahem Bikal Hashem. So therefore, we use the same Zera Shava, Yavoi, Yavoi, to teach us that the same rule applies. Just like by the Bia of a Mamzer, Hara is enough, and we know that from the Shifcha Charufa. So also by the Mitzri and Adoni. Yavama L'Shuk Manolan, how about the case of a Yavama who marries out without doing Chalitza or Yavum? How do we know that Hara is that you're already over with Hara? Well, says, what do you mean? What do you mean? Yavama L'Shuk is not a separate category of Isser. Ilamanda Amar Lav, Ilamanda Amar Esser Esser. We talked about before. We had the machloikas of Rav and Shmuel. We discussed earlier in the Gemara. We'll have it later on in the Masechta in more detail. Whether if Yavama marries out L'Shuk, is she only being over on an Esser? Because there's the Esser Yavama Yavayaler, which implies but not somebody else. Or is there the Lois Esser? Or is there the Lois Esser? Lois Siya Esser Shemesa Chutzul Lichzar. The machlokas basically boils down to whether kedushin are tofus with her or not. Rashi says, be that as it may, yavama is not a separate category of iser. If it's a lav, then we learn it from all the other lav and with shivcha charufa. If it's an esser, we just said we learn from the case of mitzri v'adomi. So well, what's the question? Ela Yavama la Yavama.
We wouldn't know how to differentiate.
Well, in other words, we don't know. Fine, we have a machlokus, whether it's an Esser or a Loises. But either way, we know how to loan out Hadra by Lavin. We know how to loan out Hadra by Esses. Yavama la Shuk is one or the other. You're right. Okay, Ela Yavama la Yavama Nolan. Rather, the question is not where we know that Yavama la Shuk is over with Hadra only. How do we know that the Yavama is Kona, the Yavama, with only Hadra? And the mitzvah, in other words, yeah. The answer is Asya Bia Bia. We make another Xeta Shava with the word. We make another Xeta Shava with the word Bia. The same Bia that we had before. Bonim Hashem Yivaldu Lahem Yavo Lahem Vikal Hashem. Here it says Yavama Yavo Yaleha. Same thing. So we make a Xeta Shava, and therefore we see that therefore we see that it's Kainah. Okay. How about the next one? How do we know that in general, suppose you have, we know that there's three kinds of kiddushin, kesef, shtar, and bia. We discussed, the Gemara mentioned the other day that kiddushin bia is considered pritzot, and Rav will give a person malchus for it, but minat Torah, it is chal. So if a person does kiddushin with bia, how do we know that even hara is enough? And the answer is ati kicha kicha. Here we do use the kicha, you were asking, but doesn't it say kiyika kishisha? This is where we use it. We have which is an isur karis, so it's an error. Here ki yikach ishisho v'ala. So we make that zera shava, and therefore we learn from that that he's kona her with that is kona her with hara alone. Which Tosfos, by the way, asks over here and also in kedushin that usually we say the Gemara actually has a discussion over there whether a person is kona with tchilas bia or seif bia. Here the Gemara seems to be saying it's an obvious thing that Hara, which is Tchilas Bia, is enough. And there's a number of different answers. One of them is that here we're talking about he only did Hara and then withdrew. There we're talking about he's doing Hara, intending to do Gmar Bia. There he has intentions for Gmar Bia, so therefore things aren't fully in effect until then. There's a few other answers as well. So the case over here is not necessarily the same as the case there. Amar Rava, Lomali Dekasav. Now we mentioned before that the Torah uses the word Shichvas Zera by Shivcha Charuva. Now actually that's not the only place that the Torah uses this term that a person has relations Shichvas Zera. There's actually three places. There's that. There's by an Eishes Ish and by a Soita. So that's the question. So why you have by Eishes Ish? Well, Eishes Amishcha Loisitin Shchav Tchal Zara. And by Saita, Vashachav Ishaita, Shichvas Zera. Now we know in those cases you don't need Gmar Bia for her to be also to her husband or for the Saita to go through the whole procedure of the Saita. So why, or for a person to be Chayiv Misa for being Mizana with an Ashes Ish. So why does the Torah mention them? Amar Rava, Lomali Dikasa Rahmana, Shichvas Zera, Beshivcha Charufa, Shichvas Zera, Beishas Ish, Shichvas Zera, Besaita. Why does it say Shichvas Zera in all those places?
Knowing
that we don't need in the last two. The answer is the Shivcha Charofa Kedamar. And the one for Shivcha Charofa is, as we said, indeed, that case is the exception. B'chola Torah Kula Hara is enough to affect whatever needs to be affected. You need Gmar Bia. The Eishes Ish, what is the word, what is the word Zera by the Eishes Ish, L'Sit and Shchot called the Zara, what does that come to add? That comes Prat L'Mashamish Mes. That comes to tell us, as opposed to if somebody has relations with an Eishes Ish, with a limp, Aver. The normal way of having bia, of course, is with kishri. If a person doesn't, he couldn't get it up, or whatever, then he's not over. It's still an issue. He can still get Marcus Maudus for it, but it's not.
He doesn't have kishri.
If he doesn't have kishri and he just like stuffs it in, kind of, he's not over. He's not. There's no issue. There's no issue. Mrs. Bastian involved.
Do you need RO or you just don't need RO?
No. There's two different things. If he has kishui, then hara is enough. He's already chayev on that grounds alone.
Right.
But if there's no kishui,
right,
even if he stuffs the entire aver in, nothing happens. There's no chiyuv mrs. Beis.
What do we learn that from?
That's we learn that from the fact that it says shichvas zera, which implies it has to be a shchiva that's capable of doing zera, of impregnating her. Meshamash mes is not. The question is, that works out very well according to the opinion that indeed that somebody is Meshamish Be'eva Mes without Kishui, then he's taka potter from Mrs. Nastin or from Chatas or whatever. Elamadar Machayev Ma'ikel Neimer. But what about in Shavuos? The Gemara has a discussion. There is an opinion there that even Meshamash Mess is Chayev. The Aver actually went in. Even though there may not have been Tishrei, but still. So then, what are they going to? So what are they going to? How are they going to explain this positive? The answer is Ella. They would say Prat LeMeshamish Meisa, not Meis Beloshin Zachar, meaning that his Aver is Mess, but rather Meisa, as in she is Meisa. She's dead. She's an Eish Tish, but she's dead now. If a guy does, a sick person like that goes and has relations with her after she's dead, he's not Chayev Meisa. Why? Why do we need that? We do find, after all, the Torah calls her his wife, even after she dies, because we find, what does the Torah say by a Kohen? That a Kohen can be metameh for seven relatives, one of whom is she'eroi, meaning his wife. So we see, even when she's dead, the Torah still calls her his wife. So you would think, man, if somebody else comes and is mezana with the corpse, you'd think maybe he's still chayev as an eishes ish. Kamash malon, that's why the pasuk says shichvas zera, because it has to be a shechiva that's able to be mazria, and obviously when she's dead, it's not. That's by the eishes ish. The soita lamali, what do we need the word shichvas zera by soita? This is l'chedetanya.
Shichvas zera on a man, not on a woman.
No, but again, remember, we don't use the word shichvas zera over here to mean the actual seminal fluid itself, as in the term that, as in the way that it's used in the Gemara and in later and in later Sfarim. In Torah terminology, shichvas zera means exactly what it sounds like: a shchiva, a lying, an act of intercourse that's able to lead to zera, that's able to lead to impregnation. Well, if she's dead, it's not.
So it's not only depending on the tissues.
No, so that's to say, so we're saying there's two possibilities. One is that the word shichvas zera comes to tell us if there's no kishui, then there's no chiyuv mitzvah based in. And the other is, even without kishui there is, but both participants have to be alive, at least.
Right. Or capable of...
So
let me ask you a question. Knowing that a woman is infertile...
No, that's neither here nor there. Shichvas zera means the kind of shchiva that would be able to lead to zera. We're not talking about whether she's actually able to become pregnant or not. We're talking about the act itself is something that's capable of making her pregnant versus not. If it's an Ava mess, according to the one opinion, or if she's Mesa, according to everybody, then there's not even a possibility of that thing. Next, the Soita Lomeli, what do we use the word Shichvas Zera by Soita for? This is the Chedetanya. We use it for what we learn in a Braita as follows. Shichvas Zera, when the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say by Soita over there? It says that a woman goes astray, umala by mal, v'shachav isha oita Shichvas Zera, somebody has lain with her Shichvas Zera, v'ne'la me'ene isha, and her husband didn't know, v'nistara, she was hidden, v'hinitma, she became tamei, but v'eid ein ba, there's no edus on the Tumah. And the pasuk continues that he previously had been mekane to her, he had warned her, al tisasri mishpleni, don't seclude yourself with this guy. And now she went into seclusion with him, and we don't know whether anything happened. So, shichvas zera, prat l'davar acher, this comes to exclude davar acher. My davar acher, what does it mean, another thing? Amar Rav Sheshes, prat l'shekinah, l'shalai kadarka. This means, as opposed to, what does it mean, Rav Sheshes is saying, what's considered a valid kinui? If the husband tells her, don't seclude yourself with this guy because I suspect you of having bia kedauka with him. As opposed to, if he was mekane with her saying, I know that you're not doing bia kedauka with him, but I suspect you're doing bia shaloi kedauka, Rav Sheshes is saying that wouldn't be considered a kinui. If afterwards she's secluded with this guy, nothing happens. She doesn't become a saita.
She's not an ishish.
She is an ishish.
I mean, ishish.
She's not a saita. She's not a saita. The problem is, Amalei Rava, what do you mean, Mishkevei Isha Ksiv? We clearly see, the Pasuk says Mishkevei Isha, we discussed the other day, Es Zachor Lesishka Mishkevei Isha, the Torah clearly implies that in every case, again, except for, in every case, again, except for Shifra Charufa, Shaloi Kedauka and Kedauka are fully equivalent. Yes, if he was Mekane for Shaloi Kedauka, that's the equivalent of being Mekane for Kedauka. She's still a Saita. So that doesn't work. You can't say Prata Dava Acha means that. Ela Amalei Rava, Prata Shekina La Derech Eivorin. So Rava says, no, what it means, the Pasuk Shichvas Zera comes to exclude not Shaloi Kedauka, even though it's true that can't be Mazariya, but because Mishkevei Isha, we know that those two are equivalent. No, it's a Shekinah Lo Derech Eivorim. He was mekane to her that I suspect you of basically fooling around with him. Derech Eivorim means with other limbs. Rashi gives the example of a Miyuch Dadim, that he's squeezing her breast. or v'dosh mevachut b'shar evarim, who is rubbing on the outside against other evarim. So neither one, neither kadauka nor shaloi kadauka, but other kinds of sexual acts.
But it's not a
bia. That's the point. So that, therefore, if he's mekane to her saying, don't be secluded with this guy because I suspect you of derech evarim, that wouldn't make her a soida. Amalei Abayis. Abayis says on the contrary, How could you even say that? Of course, that's not a kinui. She's not going to become also to him just because of pritzus. Something like that is not considered, like you just said, it's not considered any kind of bia. So therefore, of course, it wouldn't make her also to him. Elo, Amar Abayis, prakta shekina la b'nishika. So no, Abaye says, here's a third possibility, that when we said shikha zera prasa dova acha, it means as opposed to if he was mekane her on neshika. And neshika over here doesn't mean kissing with the mouth, doesn't mean kissing with the lips. It means, Rashi says, eva no shik b'makam tashmish. The eva just touches oisei makam. There's no actual hara yet, though the Gemara is going to get into a second what exactly the definition of hara is. But it touched there. So again, we're talking
about kishuri.
No, we're talking about with kishuri. But the,
talking with Kishuri?
I'm talking with Kishuri.
And without Kishuri?
Without Kishuri, he said before, Eva Mess. That's what he said before, that wouldn't be.
Eva Mess is he can never have a Kishuri.
No, Eva Mess doesn't mean he can never have a Kishuri. It means right now he doesn't have a Kishuri.
Ah.
Yeah.
Making her a sota,
No, for Kishuri. We're saying, of course, that doesn't make her forbidden for him.
No, these things would make her
would not make her forbidden. That's the thing. If we knew for a fact that she was just rubbing whatever skin, skin-to-skin contact with this guy, but there was no actual bia, she wouldn't become also to her husband. So, of course, the Torah doesn't have to tell us that. She doesn't become a soita. It's pritzus. She'd get makas maudus for it, and so would the guy she was with, but she doesn't become also on that basis.
Becoming
a soita where she has to drink the soita water, and until then she's also to her husband, etc.
There are witnesses that see her secluded. He already warned her. If her secluded. Oh, then they make her a soda. If they see that she didn't act, then
she'd be completely also to her husband forever, yeah. But no, what we're saying over here is something else. We're saying if he l'chatchila, the husband tells his wife, I know for a fact you're not having bia with this guy, not kedavka, not shalai kedavka, but I'm suspicious that you're doing derech evarim, so don't seclude yourself with this guy. If afterwards she does, Abaye is saying, of course that doesn't make her also. Because even if we knew for a fact that she had... even if we did have Adim that she did Derech Evarim, it wouldn't make her also to her husband.
Whether he says it or he doesn't.
Which the Gemara is going to go back to that in a minute. But meanwhile, so Abaye is saying, no, Prat l'shekinelo b'neshika. He's being mekanitor, who he's saying, I don't suspect that you're having even hara with this guy, let alone Gemar Bia, but I am suspecting that there's neshika going on over here, that he's touching the tip to there. So then you would say that's the shichva sere is prakt for that. That the Torah would say you would think that would make her also, and maybe taka it would, but therefore the shichva sere prakt the dava acher teaches us that does not answer her. Same, it would be the same as derech evarim effectively.
Specifically that?
Well, he said not. Obviously, it would include. No, he's saying I suspect that this is what you've been doing. That you've been doing the shikha with this guy. Therefore, don't seclude yourself with him.
A regular kino is not good enough for her because
no, but Pashtos in these cases, if he did a regular kinoi and then she secluded himself with him, but Pashtos it would be a good kinoi. Here we're talking about Machtchile. He knows that there hasn't been any of that. Well, the most there's been is Neshika. So therefore, and on that basis is what he's doing the kinoi. The question is Hanichal Mandama.
Intention is basically whether she's the fact that she's included could mean anything, and yet the fact that he doesn't suspect that he did either are a phobia changed her stat changed
right
her
but think of it, but think of it this way imagine let's picture if he hadn't done any kinui at all.
Right.
If he didn't do any kinui at all and she was just secluded with this guy, that wouldn't automatically ask her to her to her husband. Only if there were eight, then you'd need eight tuma. Then you'd need at least one eight that she was actually tamei with that she they actually had bia. At least Hara was saying, or maybe whatever. But like this, the fact that he did a kinui changes things. But again, what we're saying is this kind of kinui, it's a kinui garua to coin a phrase. It's not a true kina. Because a true kina involves that he has to be saying on the basis that he knows that there's been something which is considered bia in halacha. So Kadauka, Shaloi Kadauka, Haro, whatever, but not, according to Abaye, at this point, not in the Shita. And certainly not Derech Hevarim.
So basically, based on Ishi,
that's weird
because she was secluded regardless of what.
But it doesn't matter, again, because if she was secluded without any kin, without any kinui at all, she's not fine, nothing happens. So the question is, okay, this works out well according to the opinion, which we're going to start discussing soon, that the definition of ha'ara is putting in the atara. The atara is, now there's two different ways that Mefarshim have to explain what the atara is. One is it means the ring around towards the end of the Aver where the orla is attached when there's an orla. The other is it means everything from that point until the tip. In English it's called the glands. So either it means the ring directly below the glands, or it means the entire gland. Whatever it is. If we say that the definition of hara is putting in the atara, then fine. We can distinguish as follows. There's neshika, then there's hara, and then there's gmarbiya, which is the entire aver. Elamandu amazu neshika, but according to the opinion that hara itself means neshika, the first contact is already called hara. Michael Maimer, then what are you going to say? Then how do you distinguish between shikhvas dera? What's the Dover Acher? We're saying Hara already works, because Hara, we have the Hekish that tells us that it's the same as Gmabia. Gmabia certainly works. Neshika, we're saying, according to that opinion, is effectively the same as Hara. So what's left? Let's go back to the assumption that we said that Rava had mentioned that he was Makane on her Derech Evarim, that he suspected that she's been doing Derech Evarim with this guy, and he's warning her on that basis.
We cannot keep this
we said we can keep the scenario of Neshika, but only according to one opinion. We still have to be able to fan for the Braisa, Shikhva Zera Prat Dova Acha, according to all opinions. So we're saying, according to that opinion, we can go back to what Rava said, and we would say as follows, we do need the Pasuk to be telling us that nevertheless she does not become a Sota. Why? You would say, there's no Bia, of course not. Because, because we see the Torah makes it depend on the husband's Kepeda, on the husband's objection. We see, when does she become a Sota? Only when the husband warns her. Vahaka copied. In this case, we see he is Makbid. We see specifically that he is worried about Derech Hevarim enough to warn her about it. So you would think maybe that's enough to make her a Sota in that case. Either with no Bia, okay, but it's something obviously that he was concerned about enough to do a Kinui on. Kamashka one, and that would be the Chiddush then. So basically we have two possibilities. Prat l'shekina prat l'dava acher means either one way of looking at it is prat l'derech Hevarim, or the other way is prat l'neshika, depending on whether we consider neshika to be hara or not. Which now, let's get into that. Amashmol, hara zu neshika. The definition of hara is neshika, the first contact. And why is that? L'chora hara means actual penetration. Because mashal adam shemaniach et ba'yalpi. It's like when a person puts his finger on his mouth. Inevitably, you're pressing it in to some degree. So the same thing, in other words, neshika, necessarily it involves a little bit of entry.
That's called a neshika?
Yeah. So the same way as a finger to a mouth, inevitably it's not just you're putting it on your mouth, inevitably it presses against the lips a little bit. The same thing over here with Hara, with the Eva and Oisimakim, same idea. You're putting them one next to the other. Inevitably, it sticks in a tiny bit.
That's what
Amanda Mother says, Neshika. That's why Shmuel is saying that. Neshika is Hara, yeah. The truth is, actually, there is also in Shulchan Aruch, the Beit Shmuel discusses an issue that the Taz brings up. The Taz points out in Evan Ezer, in the halacha of Psur Daka and Kruz Shapcha, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, that if you look at an actual Aver, on one side you have on the top side you have the Atara is some distance from the tip. But on the other side, it sort of curves upward all the way to the tip. So necessarily, therefore, neshika kind of automatically includes inserting a certain part of the atara. And the Beit Shmuel says not necessarily. Actually, what we would mean over here, according to the opinion that it means achnasas atara, would actually mean putting in the entire atara. I mean the entire gland. Anyway, he also rabba barachana amar Yechanan. When we said before that you're only chayev by a shivcha charufa for gmar bia, doesn't mean gmar bia putting the whole aver in. Putting in the whole atara is enough to be considered gmar bia for that purpose.
That's
according to Rabbi Yechanan, which the Gemara is going to talk about soon, whether that agrees with Shmuel or contradicts it. So Masiv Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet asks to have a braisa that says Shichva Sera. When it says by the Shivcha Charufa, it says Shichva Sera, means Ein Chayev Ela Al Bias Hamiruk. This means a person is only chayev with a Shichva Charufa for Bia that is Miruk. Now, what does Miruk mean? Rashi and Tosfos disagree. Rashi says Miruk means Shemazria, that he actually emits seed, which would mean there had to actually be Gmar Bia fully all the way in and emitting Zera. According to Tosfos, no. Miruk just
means Zera,
meaning actual, yes.
A discharge of semen,
yeah. According to Tosfos, no. According to Tosfos, Bias Miruk just means putting the Aver all the way in. The person is already chayiv on the Shivcha Charuka at that point, is already chayiv the Osham at that point, even without Hotzah Zera, even without ejaculation. Yeah. So, Miruk Gid. Lchora, what does Miruk mean? It means putting the whole Gid inside. So what are you telling me, that you chayiv only for the Atara? The answer is like Miruk Atara. No, the word Miruk can mean placing the whole Atara inside. So the Braisa doesn't contradict Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Baba Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He offered Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yechanan. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rav Yechanan that Harah Zuachnasa Satara. He also said, before we had that Rav Yechanan had said Gmar Bia is Achnasa Satara. Now we're saying that Harah is Achnasa Satara. That's a big difference. Amar Lai, so they told him, what do you mean? Rav Abachana Layama Achi. Rav Abachana said differently. Amar Lahu, he says, you know what, you're right. It's a contradiction. E-U shakroi ayana shakri. Either he's lying or I'm lying. You're right. It's a stira. There's no way to reconcile it. He also Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan. And then when Amora number 3, Ravin came, we talked about the number of times that the Seder usually used to be that first Rav Dimi would come with an initial report of something that they learned in Eretz Yisrael, and later on Ravin would come and usually he would correct details that were misunderstood or whatever. So here we have the same kind of thing. So when Robin came, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'arah is Achnas Satara. He said the same as Rav Dimi, that Ha'arah is Achnas Satara. So the Gemara points out, when we're talking, okay, so we have this discussion, that we're saying, we have now two Amoraim who are saying that Rabbi Yochanan said Achnas Satara is considered Ha'arah, not Gemar Bia, like Rabbi Yochanan said. So, Adurav Baba Chana Vade Polig. There's no question that report of Rav Dimi and Ravin necessarily argues Rav Baba Chana. Like he said, either I'm lying or he's lying. Adur Shmuel Milema Polig. But do we need to say necessarily that he's also arguing with Shmuel? We would rather not have that there's so many different opinions. We'd rather minimize the number of possible opinions. And the answer is why? Not necessarily, because Rabbi Yochanan might hold. Meaning not necessarily. Does Shmuel said that Neshika, the first contact, is already considered Hara. Rav Yochanan was saying that it was saying that Hachnasa Satara, which is a further stage, is what's considered Hara. Do those necessarily contradict? And the answer is no. Minishika ba'ad Hachnasa Satara Hara Karila. Rav Yochanan might hold that Nishika begins the process of Hara, and Hachnasa Satara, putting in the entire Atara, ends it. But that whole part of the Bia, is considered Hara, as opposed to Shmuel would say, Neshika is Ha'ara, and you chayev for that by all the other arayas. And Hachnosa Satara, already Shmuel would say, Hachnosa Satara is enough to make you chayev even by a Shivcha Charufa. That would be considered Gmar Bia. Because we said, like we said before, when we said that Shichva Zera ein chayev el al bias hamiruk, Shmuel would understand miruk to mean miruk atara, placing the entire atara inside. So according to Shmuel, there's never, once you put in the whole atara, that's it, you've done Gmar Bia. According to Shmuel, whereas Rabbi Yochanan might hold that from the Shika till Achnasas Atara is called Hara, and anything past that is considered Gmar Bia. So not necessarily is he arguing with Shmuel. The point is, at least not explicitly. No, because that's what we're going to say now. Ki Osir of Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have one last one. When Rav Shmuel by Yehuda came, he explained in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'ara zu achnasas atara, that the word Ha'ara means putting in the atara. Gmar Bia means literally Gmar Bia mamish, putting in the whole aver. Mikan ve'elach ena elon neshik mupater Allah. As opposed to anything less than full achnasas atara would only be neshika, and you'd be potter for it. Upolig ad Shmuel. Mikan meaning anything less than achnasas atara. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan would be saying as follows. You have Neshika, which is anything that is less than the Atara. Anything up to the Atara is considered Neshika. Atara is considered, for at first when you put in the Atara, that's considered Hara. the full Atara, and Gemara Bia, I mean Gemara Bia Mamash, putting in the whole Aver. Well then, Upoli got a Shmuel. Then necessarily we have to say that he's arguing with Shmuel, because Shmuel had called Nishika already Hara,
oh, yeah.
And Rav Yechanan, according to this last report, Rav Yechanan is definitely saying that Nishika is not part of Hara, that only Achnasas Atara is. So before we said that maybe we could say Rav Yechanan is saying that Hara is a whole process that involves from Nishika until Atara, that there's two different stages within Hara itself. Now we're clarifying that, no, according to Rav Yechanan, there's only one thing which is called Hara, which is Achnasas Atara. And therefore, necessarily, that argues with Shmuel. The Mishnah continued, Echad ha-ma'arav ve'echad ha-goymer kona, that when it comes to a Yavama, whether a person does Ha'ara or whether a person does Gmar Bia, then he's kona the Yavama. Question is, my kona. In what sense is he kona her at that point, with only Ha'ara? Or actually, we're not, Mephoshim argue what the Gemara is going to be discussing over here. Are we talking about Ha'ara versus Gmar Bia? Or are we talking about, the Mishnah had mentioned, various cases where the intent was incomplete, where it was b'shoigig, b'mezid, oines, etc. When the Gemara is going to be discussing over here, the Gemara is going to be discussing what we call bia grua, an incomplete kind, or not incomplete, but an improper kind of bia. And we're going to be discussing to what extent that's kind of the Yavama. Do we mean, is Gemara trying to distinguish between Ha'ara and Gemar Bia, that we're going to say that maybe Ha'ara is not fully Kona and Gemar Bia is? Or are we distinguishing between, for example, Onet, Shogig, etc., and the Rotling? In other words, if they did it, B'Shogig, maybe we would say he's Kona for certain purposes, as the Mishnah said, but maybe he's not fully Kona for other purposes until they actually do it B'Rotling, knowing that they're doing it for the sake of Yibu. That's what the Gemara says. So there's two different ways of explaining what the Gemara is going to be talking about over here. So, my kona, Rab Amakona Lakoil, Rab says it means he's...
What really made it a evil?
Right. So, Rab Amakona Lakoil, it means he's kona for all purposes. Even if it was a beer grower of any kind, he's kona for all purposes. Not only it means that he's Makayim Mitzvah of Yibum, but it also means, for example, if he's a Kohen, she's allowed to start eating Truma at that point. Even let's say he only did, let's go with the Mephoshim, who say that we're talking about the intent, so he only did a beer B'Shoigig, let's say, not knowing that she's his Yavama. Then he left, he went off to Medina Sayyam. He never did a Bia Gemura. Nevertheless, if he's a Kohen, he's already allowed to eat Truma, Rav is saying. Shmuel says no. He's only Kohenahu with a Bia Grua to the extent of the things that it says right there in Parshas Yibum. Ludash ben Yichsei Achiv, meaning that he gets to inherit his brother's property, or the poetry in a Yibum, and to pater her from any further chiyuv of Yibum, meaning, in other words, also if he himself, let's say this brother himself dies later on, and he has children already, then she's pater from Yibum at that point. We don't say that she's still, if he had never done the Bia, she'd still be Zokuk from her first husband. But because he did something which at least can be considered Yibum, even though it's a Bia Grua, even though it was B'shogig or whatever, nevertheless, at least it patters her from any further Yibum.
And if she doesn't have children?
If he didn't have any children, then obviously she's going to be no full of Yibum again when he dies. Yeah, but we're not talking about that yet. So any more points out. Mina Nisuri in the Divra Hakol Ocho. If she was widowed after marriage, so she was fully married, they had done Erusin and Nisurin with her first husband, and then her first husband died, and now she was no fully Yibum, L'diva Hakol Ochla. Then fine. Everybody agrees that once she does a Bia Grua with her Yavam, she'll be able to eat Truma. Why? D'ha Havas Ka'achla Me'ikara? Because after all, she was able to eat Truma originally. The din is, we'll have much more about this in a couple of weeks. We'll have several Mishnayos, and we'll see them starting tomorrow. We're gonna start having a discussion about this. The Torah says a Bas Yisrael obviously can't eat Truma. She's a Zor. If she marries a Kohen, then she's allowed to start eating Truma. Technically, actually, Midar Raisa, as Gemara is going to discuss soon, Midar Raisa, she's actually allowed to start eating the Truma even right after Erusin. Because the Torah says, the Kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspo, that if a Kohen buys someone with his money, then they're able to eat. That's how the slaves of a Kohen, for example, are allowed to eat Truma. Well, what does Erusin consist of? It consists of kinyan. He's Kohen for a wife. Doesn't matter, but no, first of all, it could be. He gives a prata b'shava prata, right? You can have kedusha kesef shtar or bia. But any of them is considered kinyan kaspo. So Minatora, she really be allowed to eat as an arusa. Midrabanan, she's not, for reasons the Gemara discussed in Ksubas, and we'll get to briefly soon. But Midaraita, she is. But if, so if she was fully married, if there was Nisuin, then there's no question she's allowed to eat truma. Now what happens? When her husband dies, she goes back to being a Bat Yisrael. She's not allowed to eat truma unless she had a child from him. If she had a child from him, since that child was a Kohen and allowed to eat truma, on that basis, she, his mother, can also continue eating truma.
Midoraita.
Midoraita, yeah. If she didn't have any children from him, then her ability to eat truma is suspended. But now, if she goes and does Yibum with his brother, who's also a Kohen, obviously, then she goes back to being able to eat truma. So we're saying if she had done Nisuin with the first brother, if she had a time when she was able to eat truma, and now it was suspended, then fine. Even a Bia Grua is enough to get her back to eating truma again, we're saying. Ki pligi mina erusin, the machloikas of Rav and Shmuel would only be if she was widowed only after erusin. So, Rav amoy chelas. Rav says, nevertheless,
about
truma, right. That's what we're discussing. So, Rav says, nevertheless, after this Bia Grua, she will be able to go back to eat truma. Because we see, we learned before that the Torah is marbe from Yavama Yavayalah or from whichever pasuk that we learned it from over there. That bias shoygig is exactly the equivalent of bias mezid. From Yavama Yavayalah and shoygig and mezid and onis and merotin. So then, in that case, it has the same effect whether it was shoygig or whether it was merotin. That's what Rav said. Well, Shmuel Amar, no. Shmuel says, Ki Rabbi Rachmana l'ukmei b'makam baal. No, the Torah only is marba him. The Torah only is marba that shogig is as good as mezid when it comes to making him equal to the baal, when it comes to give him the equal powers to the original baal. For example, he inherits the original husband's property and that she becomes his wife, etc. La'alumi mi baal, no. But you're not going to make her more stronger than her original husband. Meaning, she wouldn't have been able to eat truma based on the erusin to her original husband. Because it was only Eretzin and Midrabanan, she can't eat truma at that point. You can't say now because of a Bia Grua that the Yavam now becomes because of a Bia Peshegig, that now the Yavam is going to have more power than her original husband, who was only Nisaris to her, where therefore on that basis she's going to be able to eat truma.
Still
more than the Yavam is going to be an inheritor and the economic and all that.
So matamah to her is one of the things that it doesn't mention in the parasha, so that's the question. That's another question, whether it applies. He inherits the brother's property, but... right, so whether he inherits from her, that's another one of the things that we're discussing. When we say over here that, like, when Shmuel says, like, kona el advarim ha'amur m'parasha, means exactly that. In other words, yeah, there's it means inheriting from his brother, and it means inheriting from... No, not Truma. Truma is not mentioned over there. It means inheriting from his brother, and that she's potter from Yibum. It does not include things like the Yavam inheriting her if she dies. It does not include things like him being metame for her if he's a Kohen. Yeah. And it does not include Truma, Shmuel is saying, yeah. Because the Zohar is not allowed to eat it. We're not talking about that. We're not getting it. We're talking about a Zohar who eats Truma is Chayav Mitzvah D'Shamayim. It's serious stuff.
But how can you say that... that the Erusin is the equivalent of
Bia Grua.
Bia Grua. I
mean, well, that's effectively what it is. We're saying that Bia Grua, we're saying it's not really the equivalent of Erusin, but it's not a full Bia either. It's not a normal Bia.
More than Erusin.
But it's not, that's what we're saying. It's not strong enough to make him stronger than the husband. No, if the first husband was Makadisha with Bia, well, there is actually a Machlokas of Shoinim. If a person is Makadish with Bia, does that Bia accomplish only Erusin, or does it accomplish Nisuin as well? If we say it accomplishes Nisuin, okay, well, he was... There's an opinion that doesn't accomplish... that it only accomplishes Erusin, yeah.
But that's not the halacha.
The halacha is you should do Kiddush Bia anyways, it's kind of a moot point, but if a person is Makadish with Bia, if a person is Makadish with Bia, I'm not sure. I think the halacha is we only consider it as the equivalent of Erusin. Anyway.
So in that sense, yeah, it's the same.
Okay.
It's the same as...
Yeah. Anyway. But as the Shmuel the time, and Shmuel goes according to his own Svara, the Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel, Kol Shabal Yachil Machil Yovam Machil, any case where the husband is able to allow his wife to eat truma, then the Yovam is also. Kol She'ena Baal Machil, the Yovam Ena Machil. Any case where the husband wouldn't be able to, then neither can the Yovam. Which is basically what we're saying over here. So therefore, the husband wasn't able to have her eat truma because she was only an arusa to him. this bia grua also, then the yavam is not able to until he does a proper bia, a bia kshera, and then at that point, of course, she becomes his wife for all purposes. That's what we're going to get to that soon, yeah.
Does it matter? I mean,
according to Shmuel, maybe not. Yet. Maybe the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Bas Yisrael
bikachas... Who is the contradiction?
The contradiction is going to be according to Shmuel. It's going to be on Shmuel.
On Shmuel.
The Braisa says as follows. Bas Yisrael... Now, as background to this Braisa, we learned in Chagigah, and we've learned in scattered other places, the concept of a cheresh. A cheresh in halacha, somebody who's unable to hear and unable to speak. For many purposes, and halacha is considered as that they don't have full intelligence, they don't have full das. Here we're actually going to be talking about a case where a person became a cheresh later in life, and there's actually a poskim discuss that. Or do we say the same thing that if a person is born or is born deaf mute, or they became deaf mute at a very young age, they never learned to communicate is different. Here with Pashtus, this person has ways of communicating; they already learned. But nevertheless, the fact that now they're completely incommunicado, it seems from all Gemara over here that it has an effect. Yeah. Anyway, now one thing that's important for that purpose is. Mida raisa, there's no way that a cheresh is able to get married. The kedushin on achal, or if they did kedushin and now they want to do nisuin, the nisuin won't be chal. They'll effectively remain stuck in kedushin. The rabbanon were misakin that you have kedushin in those cases. We'll have a lot of discussion about that much later in the Masechta, towards the end of the Masechta. About that.
And children?
Wait. So if you have a normal Bat Yisrael who was niskadesh to a normal kohen, well, he just picked a kohen sa'ad shenischadesh. Before he had a chance to do the nisuin, he became a cheresh. So now, midoraisa, there's no way for him to marry her. Eina echelas, so she can't eat truma, because yes, they're going to do a chuppah, they're going to stand under the chuppah, and they're going to do sheva berachos and everything, but midaraisa, all that has no effect, because he's a cheresh.
That is according to the opinion that he's not born a cheresh, and it's still...
Yeah, nevertheless, yeah.
It works.
Yeah. However, continues the braisa, mes v'nopla lifnei yavam cheresh, suppose that this husband of hers, who is a cheresh, dies, and she comes up for yibum to his brother, who's also a cheresh, echelas. And she can go back to eating truma on the basis of the bia of the cheresh, because the cheresh is going to end up doing bia with her to do the mitzvah of yavama yavayelah. He doesn't have das. So what? When a person does bia b'shoigig, he also doesn't have das, and we said it's not a problem. Ubezu yafa kayach yavam kayach abal. In this sense, the yavam is stronger than the husband. The husband was not able to have her eat truma with his own bia. The yavam is. So bishleimel rav nicha. So according to Rav, that works out very well. El Shmuel kasha, but how does that work according to Shmuel? You said according to Shmuel that the yavam can't be any stronger than the husband, and here you have a case where he is. Oh, yeah, amalach Shmuel eimahachi. No, Shmuel says you have to change the words of the Braisa a little. Let's edit the Braisa. Well, his pichukainza, the first husband did not have a chance to do nisuin. Adchin is charesh until he became a charesh. Ena echelas betruma. Then we say she can't eat truma. Fine. Konas vachakach nischarish. However, let's add in a phrase in the baisa. If he fully married her and then he became a charesh, she can continue eating on that basis. Because once she did nisuin with him, the fact that he became a charesh now doesn't undo their marriage. Nes v'nafal lifnei yavam charesh echelas. But if at that point, after a nisuin which were valid midaraisa, which in the course of that nisuin became a cheresh, if at that point he died and she comes up for yibum to his brother with a cheresh, then also a chelas, then she can eat on the basis of the yibum. Umay bezu. So then, what are you saying that in this sense the yavam is stronger than the husband? Deilubal cheresh meikra lechelas. It doesn't mean that the yavam is. The yavam does have the same power as the husband did, because she was able to eat when she was married to her husband. Therefore, she's allowed to eat when she's married to the yavam. We're saying the yavam has an advantage in a different way. That if circumstances had been different, the yavam would have a stronger thing. Because if the husband, to begin with, before the nisuin is a cheresh, then she's not allowed to eat, as the bride said, because then the nisuin are not chal min ha'torah. Whereas the Yavam can even be a Cheresh before he ever does Yibum, and nevertheless, she's allowed to eat. So that's what we're saying, Yavam Koyach HaYavam Mikoyach HaBaal. We don't mean that there's a case where she wasn't able to eat when she's married to her Baal, but she's able to when she's married to the Yavam. We mean that the Baal has to have had a period of Nisuyin with her when he was a Pekeach in order for her to be able to eat. The Yavam needs no such thing. Even if the Yavam was a Cheresh before he ever married her, before he ever did Yibum, then the fact that her first husband was Pekeach at one time and she was able to eat on that basis allows her to continue eating with the Yavam.
In a way, the Yavam is stronger than the
Yavam. No, but that's the thing. The Yavam is not, Shmuel is saying, it's not, when Shmuel is saying the Yavam is stronger than, it can't be stronger than the husband, he means there can't be a case where when she was married to the husband, she can't eat Truma, and all of a sudden when she's married to the Yavam, she can. But you can have a case where when she was married to the husband, she can. When she's married to the Yavam, she also can. But the difference is, the husband, in order for that to work, the husband had to be a Pekeach at some point during the Nisuin. The Yavam didn't.
So that means the Yavam cannot be stronger than the husband. It means that
it just means the circumstances can be different. The circumstances can be different with the Yavam more than with the husband. Yeah. This is all version number one of the Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Now, version number two, the Ikadamri, mina Erasin de Rahakalayachla. If she was, now remember, according to the first version, we said that if she was married to her first husband and everybody agrees she can eat Truma with the Yavam because she was already able to eat from beforehand. If it was from Erasin, that was the Machlokas. Now we're saying the other way around. If it was Mina Erasin, Dira Hakalai Akhla, then everybody, Rav and Shmuel, would both agree that she cannot eat Truma with the Yavam based on a Bia Grua. Dahalai Akhla, B'chayabal, because she never had a chance to eat while the husband was alive. You can't say on the basis of a Bia Grua that she should be able to all of a sudden be able to start eating Truma with the Yavam. Kipligi Mina Nisuin. Rather, according to this version, the Machloikas is if she was fully married to her first husband.
So Erasin, in this case, the second version
is for sure out of the
picture.
We're talking about here. And again, where the Yavam did be a Grua. Remember, because of course, if he did be a Kshayr, there's no question. So, Rav Omo Echelet to Havas Achim Ekra. So Rav says, very well, it's fine, it was only a Bia Grua. She was able to eat Truma beforehand with her first husband. No reason, she shouldn't be able to now. Shmuel says that she cannot, because ki rab rachmana b'yestregin kemezid l'dvarim hamur b'parasha. Again, when do we say that the Torah says that shogig is just as good as mezid, is only for the purposes of the ones that it mentions in Parshas Yibum, that the Yavam inherits the dead brother's property, and that she's potter from Yibum,
and not
avalachol mililoi, but not for other purposes, including truma. So yes, she was allowed to eat truma with her first husband because she had an issurin to him. But because here there was only bia grua, no, the Torah is not saying that shogeg is kemezid for that kind of purpose.
Because it's not included in the
because not in that parsha of yeah.
Right. Where is the parsha?
And it's towards the end of Parshas Kitete. Yeshua Achim Yachta v'Meisach and Mamia. The question is, why didn't we say before the rule that Rav Nachman had said in the name of Shmuel that any time the husband is able to have her eat truma, the Yavam also is? The husband was able to have her eat truma because they were fully married. Why shouldn't the Yavam? Okay, so it was a Bia Grua. So what? According to Shmuel's own rule, it should be allowed. Kol Sha'bal Machil Yavam Machil. The answer is no. You have to change it. Amen. You have to change the rule. Any kind of bia where the husband would be able to be machil her, meaning such as bias chupa, not in other words if they did it b'shogeg or whatever, because that's bias chupa implies that they know what they're doing. Yavam machil, yavam machil ba. V'chol bia she'ena baal machil ba. Any kind of bia where the husband would not, namely for example shogeg or onus or what have you, ain't a yavam machil ba, then the yavam can't eat it.
No, that you have to read the
Brisa. It's not a Brisa. This is a statement of Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel.
Okay.
So in order that Shmuel's two, in order according to this version, in order that, that Shmuel's two other statements should not contradict each other, we have to change the wording of his statement. Yeah.
It's a statement. It's not a Brisa.
Yeah, right. But now Meisvi. Now we have the same Brisa as before. But a Bas Yisrael who's healthy, but he's the Kohen Sachin is Charesh, and he didn't have a chance to marry her until he became a Charesh. And in Chelas, we say she can't eat Truma at that point, because the Nisuin are never going to be a good Nisuin, Midaraisa. Meth v'nopal l'fnei yavam v'cheresh. But if he died and then she comes for yibum in front of a yavam with a cheresh, a chelas, or with a yavam mikayach baal. And as the Braise said, here you find where the yavam is stronger than the husband. So shlemel rab mataritz k'detaritz meikara. So now according to the second according to the second version of Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, really the Braise as we have it worded over here is a problem for both Rav and Shmuel. It's a problem for Shmuel for sure. It's a problem for Rav also because according to Rav, we're saying that mina nisurin she can't eat and mina nisurin she can. We're saying that the husband died having only done erusin and the yavam marries her that she's allowed to eat truma. According to the second version, Rav disagrees with that also. So the answer is, according to Rav, we could say mitaretz k'detaretz meikara. We could change the wording of the braisa like we did before, like Shmuel. Like in the first version, we said that Shmuel would change it. That you add a line to the braisa that says that you're talking about that the case with the yavam is where the husband had done full nisuin first, and then he became a cheresh.
So here you can
change it. According to Rav, would say you could do the same change. El the Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, it's a kasha. Because she according to Shmuel, even when she was able to eat mina nisurin, that she's still not able to eat mina yibum unless it was a bia grua, and a yavam cheresh is a bia grua because his bia is the equivalent of shogig. And kasha, okay, it's a kasha on him. Which, you know, as we've said many times, kasha means it's not a complete refutation of Shmuel, and the reason is, before we should say, because Shmuel can answer, you know what, once we have to change the words of the Braisa, we can change a little bit more of it. We can say at the end of the Braisa if she marries a Yavam Cheresh, then she's not allowed to eat Truma. Eino Echelas instead of Echelas. Still, you know, it's like a kasha.
Shmuel would agree that you can change the.
Yeah. Turn it up, Anon. We'll do this next part till the two dots on the bottom, I think, and then we'll call it a night. The Nun Zayin Amud Beis is short anyway, so we won't have a problem re-catching up then.
You should finish.
I was thinking we'll get to the bottom. Really, we should be at the end of Nun Vav Amud Beis, but whatever. It's getting late, so we'll go till the end of Nun Vav Amud Aleph and call it a night. Turn it up on him, especially because at that point that finishes off with this business about Bas Yisrael and Truma. Turn it up on him. Bas Yisrael pikachas she nisarut to the koyin pikeach. We said before, Bas Yisrael was healthy, was nisarut to a koyin pikeach. But his koyin tach she nisarut before he had a chance to fully to do nisurin, he became a cheresh. Ain't a cheresh. We said she can't.
Then he became a cheresh.
So we said she can't. She'll never be able to eat because the nisurin or never a nisurin. Now here comes the wrinkle. You asked him before, what if she has children from this cheresh? That's exactly what we're talking about. Nolad lo ben a cheresh. If she has a child with this husband of hers as a cheresh, then yes, she can eat because her son is able to eat truma. So therefore, on that basis, she's able to. Right, it was a bia grua because he was only a cheresh.
But the question was if she has a bia grua and still is.
No, but the bia grua we were talking about before in connection with yibum. Here we're talking about a regular marriage to her first husband. But nevertheless, so no, it's not even bia grua, it's nisuin gruin. It's not an nisuin that applies midaraisa. She had kiddushin, but she had chuppah and whatever. But that chuppah and bia was all ineffective midaraisa because he's a cherish at that point. But she has a kid, so she can eat on the basis of a kid. Mesaben, what happens now if the child dies? Rab Nosson Omer Echelas. Rab Nosson says she can still continue eating because of her husband.
She returns to
her previous status. Question is, my time is at Rab Nosson. So what's? Yeah. So what's Rab Nosson's reason? Her son passed away. She's still married to her husband, the Cheresh.
Yes.
But she wasn't able to eat Truma before when she first married him. Why is Rav Nosson saying that now, after they had a child and the child died, why does that make her position stronger that now she's able to continue eating? The answer is Omer Rabba, Hoyol Shekvar Ochla. Because she was already able to eat. There was already a time when she became mutter to eat because of her son.
Because of her son.
So fine. Rav Nosson is saying that's strong enough that at least even that even now since she's still married to the Cheresh, that she's able to continue eating Truma on that basis.
The reason is gone.
Doesn't matter. Well, wait. Abaya says, El Me'ata, I mean, by that logic, if you're saying that even though the factor that allows her is gone, then what about the Bas Yisrael Shenissus L'Kohen or Misle? So what happens? Forget that. She forgets Cheresh or whatever. She married a Kohen, her husband died. Teichol Shekvar Ochla. What are you going to say? She should continue eating Truma because she was able to eat before? You don't do that. El Kivn de Misle Pokalai K'dusha Simina. Once he died, his K'dusha goes away.
And she returns to her previous status.
Ochanami Kivn de Misle Pokalai K'dusha Simina. Here also, she does not have the K'dusha of an Ashes Kohen based on her marriage because her marriage is not a marriage min HaTorah. She only had it on the basis of being the mother of a Kohen. Well, the child who was a Kohen is gone, so that's it.
If she'd been a Bas Kohen herself.
If she'd been a Bas Kohen herself, sure, she could eat to him on that basis.
If she returns to her father's home?
That's if she's childless in return. That's if she's childless and widowed or divorced. Actually, in this case, where her marriage is not a marriage, midoraisa, maybe that would also. I mean, if she's a Bas Kohen anyway, she'd be able to eat on the basis of being a Bas Kohen. Yeah, on her own. But we're not talking about that.
No, we don't.
El Amar Rav Yosef, so no, rather Rav Yosef says the reason is Kasav Rav Nosson Nisu a Cheresh Machal in the Truma. No, Rav Nosson says that actually, if a Cheresh marries a woman, he is able to have her eat Truma. V'loy Gazrin and Nisu a Cheresh, Ata Kedusha Cheresh. We do not make a Gzera that we might confuse the Nisuin of a Cheresh with the Kedusha of a Cheresh. Meaning, in other words, like this. I mentioned before that Minat Torah and Arusa is allowed to eat Truma. It's only Midrabanan that she's not. Now, why is that? The Gemara in Ksubas mentions two reasons for it. One is that what happens, an Arusa usually still lives in her father's house. I mean, she's not living with her husband until they get married. So while she's at home, this is Bat Yisrael, all of her family are Yisraelim. What happens if she has some truma food over there, which she brought from her cousin's house, and she eats it, and some of her family, and then she wants to give out some to her family. They're going to be Zorim, and they're going to be over eating truma. So because of that, we make a Zera, and we prevent her from eating truma as long as she's an Arusa.
But still, she can't. But she,
in principle, she herself would be able to. That Rabbanan just disallowed it. The other reason the Gemara mentions over there is what happens if, between the Kedushin and the Nisuyin, he discovers that she has a mum or something else that makes it that the whole Kedushin was based on a mistaken premise. And then
the husband.
And then that's it. The marriage is never going to go through. So that's the other reason. In this case, when she's married to a Cheresh, Rav Nosson is arguing neither of those factors apply. The factor of her family, she's not living with her family anymore. She's living with her husband. Okay, he's a cheresh. Okay, her marriage is not a marriage of midaraisa, but she is living with him. There's no possibility that she's going to share food with her family now. And as far as the other problem, also not. Once he became a cheresh during the time of the Kedushin, before the Nisuin, he's never going to find out that she has a mum. He has subnormal das, and he has subnormal das anyway, so like basically he's not going to care. Doesn't matter.
He could find out he can't divorce her.
True, actually. A cheresh can't divorce because again he doesn't have the daft to be able to divorce. That's true.
Why does he have to divorce?
Here we're not talking about that he might divorce her. Here we're talking about the kedushin might be nekar the makreya. That retroactively he would never have done kedushin with her if he had known. But in this case he's a cheresh. He has subnormal daft anyway, so he's not going to do that.
Right, no, but it doesn't matter, the Kiddushin and Al-Khal.
No, but that's the thing, the Kiddushin and Al-Khal, if he finds out about this mum, and he says, therefore, on that basis, you know what, I want to avoid the Kiddushin. Here he's a cheresh, he's not going to do that. So therefore, I'm not going to argue, there's no reason to be goyzer, that she can't eat truma.
He's talking about where his sister's seen her in the bathhouse.
Let's say, for example, but he's a cheresh, basically, he's not going to say, on that basis, I don't want to marry her, because he's a cheresh,
he can't talk?
No, that's why we said before that a cheresh means he can't talk and he can't hear. And halacha considers, no, not necessarily from birth. You were talking about maybe that he became a cheresh later in life. But even so, la halacha, we consider him, again, how this applies nowadays where they have sign language and whatnot is a whole other question. I saw something the other day that I saw a reference the other day that Ksav Sofer one time visited an institute for the deaf in Pressburg, and he saw how they're teaching the kids sign language or whatever, and he said, based on that, you can't apply to these kids the din of a cheresh anymore. But okay, we're talking in the times of the Gemara, where they didn't have all that. So a person who's not a cheresh, and who's a cheresh, who can't hear and can't speak, is considered to have subnormal das. So that he has no das, well, therefore he's not going to undo the kedushin.
He writes a note, it means it's meaningless.
Meaningless, yeah. Exactly, just like if you write to get, it's meaningless. Yeah. So therefore, so there's no reason to be going to... So in that case, why does the Braisa B'chalaf mention the case where she had a child? According to Rav Nosson, even if they never had a child, you're not gozer, that you allow it to just on the basis of the marriage to the Cheresh, and that's that. Yeah? The answer is Mishum Rabbanan. Okay, the reason why the Braisa had to mention the case where she has a child is in order to tell us that it's because the Rabbanan, for the Rabbanan, it makes a difference. For the Rabbanan, she's not able to eat Truma until she has a child. The question is, Velifla Rav Nosson Alayo Gradesha. No, the Rabbanan are saying, nevertheless, it's true maybe neither of the reasons for the Takana applies in this case, but nevertheless, Leiflug, we're still saying that she can't eat Truma on the basis of her marriage to the Cheresh. When is she allowed to eat Truma? When she has a son.
And if Doraisa, she could?
Doraisa, she could, sure, because they did a valid Kedushin. So for that reason, it had to mention that she had a child. It only in order to tell us that the Chachamim would say she could eat. Question is, Velifler Rav Nosson Alayo Bredesha, then why does Rav Nosson wait to mention his machlokas until the child dies? Why does he say it right at the beginning? Vas Yisrael should know the lakon v'keichlis, the lakon v'keichlis, the lakon v'keichlis, say right there, no laben, Rav Nosson Omer, and then no laben, and you continue from there. The answer is shavak lulu rabbanon adam esayimim milsayu, because he waited until the rabbanon finished their whole statement. And then he comes in with his opinion. He didn't want to interrupt them. Question is, in that case, then he still is interrupting, because what's the wording of the braisa? Mesaben Rav Nosson Omer Echelos Vacham Meir Echelos. If he's trying not to interrupt, he should say Mesaben Eino Echelos, and then comes in Rav Nosson and says, you know what, Echelos, and Echelos would mean it could apply to the whole braisa. And that's Kasha. Again, Kasha. It's a kasha on this understanding, on this explanation of Rabbi Yosef, of Rav Nosson's position.
Wasn't Rav Kasha and Rav Mishnah, if you would put it together, I mean, it's not like the time where
you cannot say you were not questioning.
No, Rav Nosson is allowed to have his opinion. We have to figure out what Rav Nosson's reasoning is. Based on this, based on the wording of the Braisa, you can't understand Rav Nosson, you can't really understand Rav Nosson according to Rav Yosef. Yeah, because it's Yisrael, yeah. Again, it's kasha, it's not a tzufto, because you could say, okay, you know, he waited until they finished the whole first case, no laben, and then one mess up in, then he jumps in, you know. Evidently, we're assuming that he jumped in, you know. Right. Okay.